of the second half of the Carol Burnett Show.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
No better way to start a Monday show than with a poem. And, you know, I mentioned for those regular listeners that Carla has a lot of people that really, really like to reach out and express their love and devotion to her. But nobody, I think it's safe to say nobody has ever really responded to that more than our good friend from Spokane, Washington, Mr. Dirk Vastrick.
I got to ask, because I know Carla has a large contingent of fans on the show. She's got fans for her business. She helps so many people. But is Dirk the one that... Is he the creepiest? Do you find it creepy at all?
Not at all.
Really? Okay, that's good. Do you have anybody
I find Dirk generous.
I do too, yeah.
Supportive,
mm-hmm.
Loving, magnanimous, and one of the P1 of P1s.
I agree. Well,
creepy wouldn't make it to the show.
Creepy, you just block. And I'm looking at the poem. I'm skipping it. Yeah, maybe a little creepy.
All right. Well, you know what? I mean, life is a rich tableau, Mike.
Well, he's older than I am.
Creepy if you send
Let's point that out. I'd like to point that out that he's older than I am. But he's also been probably the biggest supporter we've ever had.
Yeah. A very dedicated, never forgets a birthday, never forgets an anniversary, never misses a live event. He's just, he's there. A very solid supporter of this program.
Some people that support you, you know, through thick and thin and are there all the time, sometimes, you know, it ends. And Dirk, it's never wavered. Other people, it wavers a lot.
I think with Dirk, it's stronger than ever.
But, you know, I have lived for, I've lived with this for a long time, and that is the fact that Dirk is madly in love with my wife.
Yeah.
So that's why when I had, I still have the card here. When I brought the card, I noticed that he gave a very nice anniversary gift to my wife.
Mm.
Now, he said, go out to Iguana Me. I think that's to placate me. But if you make the check out to her.
Then you really could be removed from it easily.
Yeah, go do anything you want.
Yeah.
And by the way, our anniversary weekend was not what I would describe as romantic. I'll get to more of that later on. But you can't be romantic when you're hauling your kid around everywhere. That's just the way it goes.
Unless he's in utero, then you can be romantic. Because he's, you know, just along for the ride, but he's not, like, requiring care.
What is wrong with you?
Everything in the wide world is wrong with me.
God, you in utero. Ew.
What? I mean, the pregnancy is a beautiful thing. Don't
make it worse. Yeah. Don't make it. No, you're probably not wrong, but geez. So Dirk sent me a message, I think last week. It's been lying here for a long time, and I've been meaning to get to it. I told him over the weekend that I would share this on the air, and I didn't print it out until this morning, so I really didn't look at it. Until this morning.
So you skimmed it. Is it full of BDE?
I don't know. Don't ask me questions. I know it's big Dirk energy. You're right. Can I just, do you have poem music?
I do, Mike.
All right. Let me hear your poem music. I want to make sure. No, that's British music. Yeah, that's British royalty music. That is not poem music.
Okay, what would you suggest for poem music?
You know. Do your job.
This was what I thought was poem music.
No, it's not.
Okay. All right. Because I thought what it was, Mike, I thought it was a masterpiece.
Stop talking about in utero and just find something nice in poetry like.
You don't want any in utero music? It would have a lot of like bloop, bloop, bloop.
What's wrong with him today?
It's been a long weekend.
I guess
so. It has
so.
For all of us.
No, that's Hollywood music.
No,
that's
wait
a Hollywood
until it gets,
fanfare.
Wait until it gets past the fanfare, then it's poetry music.
No, you just... You know, here's my request to you, Rob.
All right.
Your soundboards that you use on the show, organize them with as much dedication and care as you organize your albums in alphabetical order. Put that much effort into, the music that you have at your, so that you will know. Right now, I could tell you where is, and mention any album, right? And you would find it. How long would it take you to find it in your wall of music?
60 seconds. That's mostly the walk to the shelf.
The problem's not finding the file. The problem is the description. He doesn't know what poem music is.
Poetry music.
How's this?
No, it's not. It's got to be romantic poetry music.
Ah, okay. We can do that.
There you go.
Okay.
That didn't take long. That's
well,
good.
Well, I just, you know what, Mike?
I wasn't giving you a hard time. I meant it didn't take long. That was rapid right there. When I gave you a better description, that was good. I'm delighted.
Thank you.
Wonderful. All right. Now stop it and we'll start it again.
All righty.
All right.
Stop it. There we go.
A poem from Dirk Vastrick. Another year has found its place. Yet still I see your radiant face.
Oh, you're kidding.
The world calls you another's bride.
Oh, no.
But my heart keeps its truth inside.
Gross.
Your laughter stirs a restless flame.
Goo!
A longing I cannot quite name. Each glance of yours, though not for me, becomes a private ecstasy.
You know, Mike, when I asked if it was creepy, I was sort of joking. But this really
Yeah.
I mean, this is really...
Sorry, I'm not getting out of Dirk's voice. Right
it sounds
here.
Like he's wearing a skin face.
I raise this verse, though not my hand.
Right.
And love you where I cannot stand. For though you walk another's life, I dream you mine, forbidden wife.
What?
There it is. I'm not. I'd say he's coming on the cruise. Is he coming on the cruise?
Yeah, twice.
I'm going to have 20. I want 24-hour surveillance on him on our cruise to the Bahamas.
Well, let's have him on the Dirk deck, and he has to stay on the Dirk deck.
The Dirk deck.
I mean, there's like 36 floors on this boat.
Very,
I mean,
very generous
him his own
man
deck.
To the show. Thank you,
or
Dirk.
Just
You're a thoughtful
small,
guy.
Like an ankle chain, like they did with Frankenstein.
Yes.
Frankenstein's monster,
Hi.
Forgive
just,
me.
Just bells, so you hear him coming.
Oh, a bell around his neck like a cowbell?
The Dirk deck. Oh, my God. So,
Here
salute
he comes.
To you.
Here he
salute
comes.
To you.
I vented
on social yesterday, and I will vent some more today because it's what I do. The life of a New York Giants football fan.
Here's
the thing about the NFL. As I have become more into the NFL with each year that has passed,
right.
And none more than this year, getting ready for the season, paying attention to the draft, paying attention to training camp, following all the stories, following all the news.
Is this, like, let's go back 2 weeks. At the beginning of this season, was this the season you were more into football than your entire life? Because they certainly make it easy to do that.
The NFL
lays it all out for you.
My dad and I were really, really had that bond of the Red Sox and the
right.
Giants growing up, because he made me a Giants fan and he made me a Red Sox fan. And I will tell you that over the years, we've really enjoyed it. And then there's, you know, after my dad passed away and before Michael was born, in and out, you know, I'd pay some attention to it. I met Carla in 2003. And then in 2004, they won after an 80 year drought. They won the World Series. So that was special with Carla.
I met Carla in 2002.
And then they won in 2007, and then they won in 2013, and then they won in 2018. So I'll be honest with you, when your team starts to win like that, you kind of it loses. I know, Josh. I know it does. But it does lose a little bit of its excitement just because they've done it. You know,
not,
been there,
not
done that.
Not if you're a Yankees fan.
And I feel the same way on the football side.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you get a little Ravens victory in Super Bowls, and then you kind of, you know, you lose the flame. So when your team has a long drought, for me, and I'm probably not unlike a lot of sports fans, when your team doesn't win, and is a perennial loser, you get, if you have that personality, that broken personality that I have, you become more into it because it's more elusive and it's more something where the struggle. And so, you know, coming into this season, no great expectations for the New York Giants, to be honest with you, but you're there to see, okay, let's see what we got. And then last week against your Washington Commanders, the Giants played like the Giants of last year, which was a suckathon.
Yep.
But it was much easier to deal with than yesterday. And I mentioned this on one of my posts. When you have a really, really special group of losers, when you have an organization that is really, really a terrible organization, they not only lose, but they figure out how to turn their fans' hearts to dust.
A new way, all the time, right? I mean, always they find new ways. Yeah.
Like an amazing performance by their new quarterback yesterday, Russell Wilson, except when it really mattered. When it really mattered, when there was an opportunity, I don't know how you do it. When there's an opportunity, you rear back and you manage to throw the football, throw your pass, and it's called a forward pass, and throw it backwards. That is a special accomplishment. And by the way, when it's backwards, it's a fumble. So when it goes out of bounds, thank God, you're screwed.
Is it true what I'm seeing that he had 450 yards passing?
He had, by all measures of quarterback statistics, an amazing game for yardage.
It's like a Hall of Fame game.
And then, but when it mattered, gack, gack, chokey doke. And then throw in the fact that the Dallas Cowboys have a field goal kicker that has, it is otherworldly the way he kicks. He kicked what appeared to be almost a routine 65-yard field goal. If you get an opportunity, ladies and gentlemen, to go to a high school field or any opportunity where you literally can take a look at a football field, I would urge you to go out past midfield,
right,
towards the other side and look down at the far side and just try to ascertain what 65 yards kicking a football is.
Unheard of 10 years ago. I mean, it's just, and now they're kicking them 50 all the time.
No, not them, him.
No.
The Dallas kicker.
I'm saying that across the league. Yes. Yeah, it's more common to see the long. But 65 is insanity.
But when the Cowboys put up 40 points on the board,
you
shouldn't be mad at your quarterback.
No, your anger's in the wrong direction. I'm not. No, by the way, it's not I am not mad. I am saying that I am just very factual that this organization doesn't matter. Russell Wilson putting up those numbers, it doesn't matter, Josh. The sacks, nothing matters. Nothing matters except the W. and once again, as a lot of people said, soul crushing. And soul crushing to a thing. When the game is that close and you're thinking you might get a win and they are so rare for the fan base, it's right here. It's right in my sternum. Right in my sternum, this tightness. It manifests itself physically. Doesn't really do that with baseball nearly as much as football. And it's right there. And I can't imagine that it's healthy.
So when you're talking about the worst loss is a near loss like that, you would have preferred a loss like the Commanders had where they were never in it.
Well, that's the loss that the Giants fans are used to. Are used to, in many cases, going into the second half, kind of win would be a spectacular comeback, and they don't do it.
That's next week. Next week, you're going to turn the game off in the first quarter and go to bed.
Yeah, next week when they play the Kansas City Chiefs. Great schedule, by the way.
And what, 8:30 at night? It's Sunday night football.
Yeah, won't bother. I will not be watching that. I'm saying that. Listen to me saying that. And then when I come in on Tuesday and I'm like, blah, blah, blah.
Come in on Monday. Okay.
Here's my prediction. I'm going to put this in an envelope and mail it to myself.
Sunday night football next week?
Yes, it's you guys have Sunday night football.
It's Sunday night football. That's the worst thing ever invented. For the purposes of selling pizza, those pricks at the NFL. I mean, really.
Mike, seal this in an envelope because this is what's going to happen.
All right.
They are going to win handily next Sunday, and you're going to come in here loving your team.
Kiss of death right
there. No, I don't affect sports. I only affect people's lives. I only bring death.
Yeah, when Rob mentions celebrities, they often die.
Yeah. I think you're going to have a win, and you're going to come in, and you're going to be reinvigorated, and you might even say that magic word, bowl.
Yeah, yes. If they beat the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football, you can gladly say that.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
But it's not going to happen.
Did the Chiefs win yesterday or lose yesterday? With the Super Bowl rematch. Did the Chiefs beat the Eagles or not? I don't even know. I don't even know what the outcome was. I wasn't paying attention. And
Eagles won 20-17.
Oh, the Giants are going to be a grease spot next week. They're going to be a grease spot. I will be able to wrap things up in the first quarter, and I'll probably take a beat. Why do I do it?
It's going to be what the new phrase you coined today. I don't even know if you know you said this. It's going to be a gack-gack choky-dokey.
A gack-gack choky-dokey, absolutely. Well, that's what the Giants said yesterday. But here's the thing. You know, you can't really compete with a kicker that kicks at 60. Yeah, and of course they gave that kicker the opportunity to routinely.
Yeah.
You know, may have had a little right to left on it, but never a doubt. It was a no-doubter, you know. I guess that would have been better than hitting the crossbar and, like, limping over.
No, always best to hit the crossbar because it's funny.
So that game was in Dallas, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So that stadium is built to kick at 70 yards.
How so?
It's indoors. Yeah. They've got the air-conditioned vents probably all pointed in the right direction. They've got it all set up for them.
Hi, is this maintenance? This is Jared Jones. I want you to turn all the vents.
Turn the vents to the right. Turn the vents to the right.
It is true that at RFK, they used to open big doors when the other team was on offense so that the winds would whip up in the stadium. And that was a wickedly windy stadium when it had to be.
You know,
and
Rob,
they could play it that way.
I know that you're not as into sports, but this is on the heels of the most intense sports weekend I think I've ever had. I really think I've ever had.
Well, based on your son, I imagine.
Yeah, started on Friday afternoon. And Friday afternoon, we went out to his very first middle school match. And it was pretty good, right? Yeah, it's golf. He didn't play that well. He didn't play that well, but it was fun just watching him. And, you know, it's middle school. And, it was a big bowl of okay.
How did you react as a golf spectator versus a baseball spectator for yourself?
When I was in the golf cart, and I bribed the guy out there where he was playing to use a golf cart so we could take the golf cart. It's a big place that he played. This place was a huge complex, so it was really good. I was really glad that they started on the fourth hole, so we had a long way to go. I'm really glad we had it. We went out there. The way I reacted to my son playing was I was sort of into it until he really had his blow. He had one blow-up hole, and they only play – how many holes do they play? They play six holes. They play six-hole matches in middle school. And that really – the blow-up hole, I was just I was quiet. You have to be quiet out there. Mm. So all I was doing was leaning into Carla and expressing my frustration to Carla in the same way I would express it about myself. Super negative and super, like, you know, oh, God, I just
So he didn't know. Play like the kid in the Owen Wilson show?
Yeah, no. Stick. Did you miss that?
He didn't play like Stick.
Okay,
no.
All right.
He didn't play like Stick.
Did you have sunflower seeds?
I did not. Not on a golf course. It's really, they frown on you expectorating sunflower seeds.
Wouldn't it be great if you did that and, like, you came back next season and there was massive sunflowers everywhere.
Growing out in the middle of a fairway.
Yeah, in the fairway, like one of those 12-foot sunflowers. I did that. Yeah.
So it was.
Did anyone? I got to know this because yeah. I know there's probably a lot of excitement.
That was our
people.
Wedding anniversary. It was Friday, so it was was our actual wedding anniversary.
Did you get the flowers?
Didn't get anything.
Oh, I feel
she
bad.
Didn't get anything from me. I didn't get anything. Not even a card.
You should have gotten
Dirk's card. Is the only anniversary card that has been shared with anyone.
Did anyone yell? You the man after anyone swung the...
No, there weren't enough people. There was a lovely man and woman out there, the mother of the mother of the kid from the other school.
Yeah.
And then the father of Michael's playing partner. The school they played against didn't have the full complement of players. They still beat my kid's school. And,
well, of course, if you don't have as many players, you're going to have a lower scores.
I don't know. No, well, it's not that. That's not the way it works.
Oh, okay.
It's points. You actually get points.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Since you were restrained to the golf cart.
Yeah.
While Michael was out there.
We were in the golf cart because you couldn't take it out on the course. So you had to go on the path and then you get out. You get out and walk up close so you could watch and see the shots and stuff.
So
how
was the ride home when you could talk to Michael about his game?
He was fine. He was okay. They got over it very quickly.
I'm not worried about him.
Well, I was fine too. I was fine too. There were parents gathered around.
When did
around.
You take off your rainbow colored wig? That you wear to every
match. We were fine. It was kind of chill.
Yeah.
And we ended up taking one of Michael's buddies' dad was out there, and we ended up going to the Rhea afterwards.
Dirk.
Where, believe it or not, we bumped into my mother-in-law, who was at the same place with her man, who heard me talk about his ribs. And that was pleasant. They came over and joined us for a short time, but they'd already eaten, and so they went on their merry way.
Don't you think it was her who ran into you? I mean, if you want to find Mike O'Mara, you just go to the Rhea, and you have a chance right there.
Absolutely.
There.
Come to Fort Myers.
It's like people that go to Costco.
And I sit
more
right
often
under my
than
plaque.
Not, they find me. Your plaque.
I sit right under my plaque. And we had, drinks, and they were really good. The two margaritas I had were really, really fine. No, I had two.
Floaters?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's like having four.
Yeah. Maybe five.
Maybe.
Five for the normal person.
Yes.
Two for me. That's the way I look at that. It was a big bowl of okay. Yeah. And then it was nice. The kids had a good time. The dad is a financial dude, and he was talking about the future in a very fatalistic way.
That
about
must have felt the good after
the haves and have-nots.
That's what you want to hear after your son doesn't play well.
It was so disturbing. It was so disturbing what he said at dinner, like talking about I'm not smart enough to keep up
Can
with
you
it.
Thumbnail it just like
thumbnail simplify? It would be this is what it would be 20% the money in America, the productivity and money in America is made by 20% of the population.
All right.
80% of the population doesn't really contribute to the greater good. And that 80% of the population in 6 to 10 years, it's going to be a situation where the haves and have-nots gulf is so vast that...
What brought on this conversation?
I have no
it's
idea.
Really
I'll tell you what it is. The
it
floaters
was dark
brought it on.
Is what, no, maybe, yeah, maybe a little of that. It was dark.
Now,
it was
when
dark.
He, this guy.
Dark,
this,
so dark. It was so dark I had a nightmare about it when I went home, about this, like being in the street.
This financial analyst fellow, does he know what you do for a living?
Yes,
does
I think
he
so.
Put you,
I think
then,
so.
You
he's
know,
a
I,
really nice guy. That's why we went out to dinner with him. Really nice
I
guy.
I say that
fun.
You and I are in the same business. Would he classify us as the 20%?
Yeah, oh, I'm sure.
Or the 80%?
Maybe. I don't really know because, you know, I exist in this world where, you know, most people are in a different zip code than I am.
Sure.
That's just the way it goes. Mm-hmm. And I cobble it together with baling wire. I really do, you know, do this because the things.
You fake it.
I like my kid to go to a really good school and I like to play golf at a really good place to play golf. That's not cheap. So I have to kind of figure
That's
it out and do it.
Why you live in a lean-to.
That's why I live in a mini house. That's why I live in a mini house right now. I'm doing the best I can. That's why I will be working till I am 98 years
old.
Fear not. I'm not retiring. Anyway, it's
What was Warren Buffett's attitude as he's laying out this disastrous forecast?
It was matter of fact and as cold as ice.
Oh, God.
That had to the bunker.
It was really, really weird.
That has to be a bad ending to a bad day.
I mean,
the Rhea is great, but still.
It was just the theme that went on of the weekend, and then we got into then the next morning we were up at the crack of dawn because we had to drive 2 hours up the road to the baseball tournament.
Uh-huh.
And in the baseball tournament, they won one game and they lost one game. The game they won, my son almost blew it because he decided to pitch, and Carla was giving me a hard time. At one point, the coach said, "Who wants to pitch?" "Well, do you or do you not?" I said, "He wants to pitch. He wants to pitch." And my son came in and didn't give.
I thought you said he said he wanted to pitch.
Yeah,
he didn't. He wasn't committal. That's a no. And I said, "Michael, you pitch. Tell him you pitch." And Michael said, "I pitch." And he got in and pitched, and he didn't record. He didn't record an out. In the last inning, and they almost lost the game because
he didn't want to pitch.
It's probably my fault.
Probably.
Well, no, I mean, it was just that was the low point. The rest of the weekend was joyous. And did they win? No. But they won one game, lost two, and it was fine because it was great sport and it was great camaraderie. And my son at the plate, three hits in the three games, and he made one out and walked the rest of the time. So he has a 750 batting average in his he was fantastic, including a rope double past the outfielder.
Explain
way down
to me
the line.
What a rope double
just
is.
Hit it on the line, hit it on a rope drive. Just smashed it, great line drive, and I was delighted. It was fun to watch. It was good enough for me. And then
did it take the taste of golf out of everybody's mouth?
Yeah, I mean, these are children. These are 12-year-olds. So
really wasn't talking about the kids.
No, nothing lingers. Okay. Nothing lingers. It's not like what lingers more is the Giants more than anything my kid does. Because he bounces back, let's go fishing, get together with his buddies, go swimming at his buddy Gio's house and just hang out. You know, and I met his buddy Gio for the first time yesterday, who calmed me down when the Giants were losing. It was a full
How did
weekend.
He calm you down?
Because I'm on my best behavior when I'm around other people.
Okay, I thought perhaps he like had some sage
if I'm
wisdom
alone,
or something.
When I'm alone, and Michael finally went out towards the last part of the game, and I was just by myself. Carla was, in the bedroom napping, and I was alone and
thinking
and
about that 80%.
Thinking about the
about that dirt card.
I cannot believe how much weekend I had. It was just too much. I know I'm all
too
over
much?
The place. It was too muck and fudge. It really. It was like I was all over the place. But the best part of the weekend and the most interesting part of the weekend did not involve golf or Giants football or baseball for my kid. It involved the O'Maras visiting on Saturday night because we stayed up there up in Sarasota overnight. By the way, we won't be doing that regularly because it's a bit of an expensive proposition.
When I suggested that, you gave me all kinds of grief.
How so?
You said that you weren't going to get a room up there. You're just going to make the drive. I said you should get a room. That way you don't have to worry about the ride. No,
2 hours up, 2 hours back, and I wanted 4 hours. I didn't want 2 hours up, 2 hours back, 2 hours up, 2 hours back. I didn't want 16 hours of travel over the weekend. Didn't want that. So what it was we needed a place to go chow down.
Mm-hmm.
And where we got our little motel was just past this giant, super ultra modern outdoor shopping, dining, mall
Plex.
Area, which was really, but really like brand spanking new with just everything was there, all sorts of options. We check in, Carla's tired. And I said, well, we can go back to that, which was essentially 2.5 miles down the road.
Piece
She's
of
like,
cake.
Oh, it's too far. She's feeling like a little burnt out at this particular point. She said, we can go right across the street, and I'm sure there are a bunch of places. So we go across the street, and she was wrong, because in the strip mall, there were like nail salons and, you know, and tax accounts.
Did you
tax
look at her like from the McLaughlin group and just go, wrong,
wrong, wrong, wrong. But there was one particular establishment that was there right off the highway. Beautiful location too. I could do an entire show, guys, and I'm sorry I'm monopolizing the conversation here, but I could do an entire show about motels and what a ripoff they are.
They
and
really
how,
are.
How with all of these services. You know, you're not able to just look at a motel online and pick it anymore. You can't. There's so many people vying for the middleman opportunity to take
Trivago.
A percentage of every. It's just bat ass. So back to the restaurant.
Right.
At the end was a freestanding restaurant, which we have one here in Fort Myers. There are multiple locations in the Fort Myers area. No, not Fort Myers, but in the state of Florida, I should say.
Is it a national chain, do you suppose?
It is.
Are you eating good in the neighborhood?
No.
Not Applebee's, then.
No.
Was it a TGI something?
No.
No? Okay. Am I in the right genre of restaurant, though?
As far as the food, yeah, probably.
Okay. Ruby
yeah.
Tuesday?
No.
I hate Ruby Tuesday. Yeah. Josh,
it's a
any
theme,
guesses?
I should say it's a theme restaurant.
Oh, Hard Rock Cafe?
No, I don't think they even exist anymore.
They don't, but it was the first one that came to mind. Was it themed to a sport?
Let me get to Josh. Josh, do you have a guess?
A Dave and Buster's.
No.
Okay. Is it themed to a sport? You said it's a theme restaurant.
Look at my face, Rob. We've worked together for a long time. What does this face tell you?
That it was not themed to a sport. It was something that was themed to something you don't like.
Nope. No, it's kind of like probably something I do like to an extent.
Is it golf?
No.
No? Gosh. Why am I coming up blank on this? Because
you don't think in terms.
You're talking strip mall, so I don't think casino.
It was not in a strip mall. It was a freestanding restaurant.
Yeah, come on, Josh.
Okay. Big. Right. It was big. It was huge.
Well, Josh brings up a good point. Was it gambling themed?
No.
Gambling?
Had my son, my wife, and me. And I'll give you another hint.
You didn't go to Twin Peaks.
We went to Twin Peaks.
No, you can't.
Oh, my God. He's having a coughing jack.
Because that's wrong.
Well, that was pleasant. Nice of him to stop by, don't you think?
What's that?
I didn't know they still had those.
Of course
restaurants.
They still do. There's a big one down here, and I hadn't been in a long time. I don't think I've ever been.
The thing that you like is not golf, and it's not gambling. It's breasts. That's what
nice
you like.
Nice beaver.
No,
well,
it
not
was
that.
No, stop it. And we had to lobby Mrs. O'Mara for going in. And
how did your son
Michael was part of this?
Yeah,
Michael.
How did he weigh
Mike,
in?
Yeah,
I mean, he's
oh,
nine?
He wanted to go. He went with another baseball family one time because there's one near their house.
Sure,
and they tie. He
they
went
had
in
to
there,
pick up the sister,
and it was it was it how?
Was. What
it was
his
everything
angle
you'd
back?
Expect it to be. What's that?
Was he pushing the food was so great, or what was his
he was
angle
talking
for
about the wings?
To go back?
Yes, he was talking about the wings.
No, it's the same Hooters argument.
But the wings are not as good as Hooters wings.
We used to work with a guy that on a trip once to Florida, he was really, really pining to take a 4-hour detour to eat lunch at this place.
You and know the I guy, said, Josh.
Yeah, and because it was new understand. And it was shiny. And I said, I don't care if, well, I was pretty graphic at the time. And I said, I don't care if they're handing out this particular service.
Right.
I'm not going 4 hours out of the way to do it because we've already driven from Washington, D.C. to Florida too much time in the car.
I will tell you this, that the combination of having the Red Sox Yankees game switch TVs not once, not twice, but four times, and then at the end just being turned off for another football game, combined with having an item that they did not have but put on the bill anyway, and then Carla called them on it, and they had to figure it out again. And the combination of...
What did they try to charge you for?
Carla, I had a Miller Lite. Carla had a Stella.
Very
nice
beers.
And then they came back and they said, we don't have Stella. Can we make it a Blue Moon? And then when she got the bill, it had Stella and Blue Moon on it. And
I don't drink anymore, but are they mentally challenged to think that the substitute for a Stella is a Blue Moon?
No, I mean, there was a discussion. There was a discussion about what they had and what was available. So it wasn't their choice. But the fact is, the bill was not corrected even after we pointed it out, and it had to be sent back again to be corrected. And then the combination of the wait for service, and then the combination for... Look, I've aged out of the crowded bar scene. I've aged out of it.
I understand.
And then I'm somebody that owned one. That's how much I loved being in a good bar.
To be fair,
I loved it.
It wasn't a crowded bar, but you did own a bar.
Well, it was crowded in its day, Rob Spiewak. It was crowded in its day, big time. But it was, by the end of it, I was definitely ready to get out of there. And, you know, you can't help but look at the scantily clad servers that are in there. But at the same time, it's, you know, my wife's sitting across from me, and it really helps when your 12-year-old goes, Dad, I saw you.
That's no way
Dad,
to be.
Dad, I saw you.
That's no way to be a friend. If you want to be a friend,
say, Grandpa, I saw you.
Grandpa, yeah. Make it real awkward. I saw you, Grandpa. But
how were the wings?
They were not good. I believe that a great buffalo wing requires a crispiness to it before it is sauced, a la Jimmy's Old Town Tavern in scenic, beautiful Herndon. Jimmy will bring you out crispy wings with wing sauce on them. That's spectacular. Wing sauce, and they were not crisped. Sat there too long.
Wing recipe, which is lauded and awarded many times over, will be in the TMOS Family Cookbook. So if you want to make wings, this is the book to buy, because this is the first time Jimmy shared his recipe.
On my end, my mom's brownies are going to be in the recipe book.
Mary O'Mara's brownies.
A simple one, the easiest one that's in there for me, eggs and hats and coats, and beef bourguignon.
Don't you have a love-hate with beef bourguignon because it takes so long to do, but it's delicious?
Sometimes it's worth it. But anyway, that's kind of how the weekend ended. And then just fun. I could watch, Carl and I could sit there and watch our kid play a baseball game all weekend long.
I'm glad you didn't say you could watch your kid at Twin Peaks all night long.
No, the discomfort of being in there would have been, by the way, the discomfort for me.
What if it was just you?
What's that?
What if it was just you and Michael?
You mean in the whole restaurant?
Josh, it's interesting you ask that, because I will tell you, I think the discomfort would be there anyway. Because you know why? Because really, I am nothing if not self-aware. When you get as much hatred as I do from different people online every week, you are forced to become self-aware. Yeah. When you're on this thing, every week, you have to be self-aware. I feel like I think it's for a younger man to go in there and ogle. And if you go to the other side, it's kind of gross. I still enjoy looking at the female form? Of course I do.
Yes.
Do I feel myself being, a little, it's probably, who's that old guy ogling? I don't think it's appropriate.
Yeah.
That's just my own internet. Leave it to the privacy of your own home. Amen. Yes.
Turned 21.
Yes.
You said uh-oh.
You dropped out for a second.
Okay, sorry about that. When I turned 21, it was I was spring break. I was home from college, and my dad came and got me.
Right.
He would have been about 41 at the time, and took me to Hooters on the express purpose of getting me drunk, because he wanted to see what I was like when I had a few beers in me. And then delivered me home to my mother.
That worked
out
well.
Right. Well, you know what?
Now
way to go, HBS. Well, nice job with that one. Yeah.
Life lessons. But he was so successful at it that when I was dropped off at home, my mom called him and said, thanks for delivering this back to me. Because What time, what age do you think it gets awkward? Or is it?
It just, I don't think, I'm 66 years old. And, you know, to be in there with this, you know, charged environment, which mm-hmm. it is no matter what, you know, it's just like, leave it to the guys that are, you know, 35. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm sorry. That's just the way I look at it. And
you didn't write any poems to your server?
No, I didn't write any poems at all. No, had nothing to write. There it was. And, by the way, Mrs. O'Mara has, you know, without any question, she will not be back at that particular establishment
so
anywhere
Hooters
in the
it
United
is.
States.
Hooters no, it is from
I
now
don't
on.
Think so. I don't think that's going to happen
either. Josh, for a while, we worked in a building that had a Hooters built right in it.
Yeah. It was wonderful.
Great.
I'm sure
it was
that worked out well.
New York
it did,
City.
For everybody.
New York City. News coming up, but first I want to tell you this program is sponsored by Liquid IV. I am today, God, three quarters of it gone already. I'm enjoying the new Liquid IV Energy Multiplier. That's
yes.
what this one looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, small cup and a half of coffee, not enough for me today on this Monday after suffering through my Giants yesterday. I got the Energy Multiplier, and it is fantastic. Liquid IV. It's a big part of my life, and I love it. I drink it every day. You see me drink it every day. And now that summer's done, you need to refocus this fall. So take my advice. Ditch the glitch with zero sugar and zero crash from Liquid IV. Here's what you need. The new Liquid IV Energy Multiplier with sugar-free.
Good.
Hydrating energy. It's scientifically formulated to support physical energy, hydration, focus, mood, and social stamina. Social stamina.
You could have used some of that at Twin Peaks.
I really could have. Wish I had a big glass of it before I went in there. It's hydration and energy all in one. It's made with electrolytes, vitamins, and natural caffeine for a jitter-free, sugar-free lift. It comes in two mouth-watering flavors, sugar-free energy strawberry kiwi and sugar-free energy blackberry lemonade, the one that I'm enjoying right now. Plus, it features three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink. Just a stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. Ditch the glitch with zero sugar and zero crash from Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with the code TMOS at checkout. That's 20% off your first order with the code TMOS at liquidiv.com.
Tidbits.
Tidbits. That's
I love that. Well, I know that this is, you know, your news, but they are, you know what they are? They're little tidbits of information that people can use.
That you can eat. Absolutely. The Emmys last night, host Nate Bargatze hyped a plan to keep acceptance speeches short. Every winner is supposed to have 45 seconds to talk, but getting celebrities to stick to that is damn near impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Nate said he'd donate $100,000 to the Boys and Girls Clubs, but that he'd take away $1,000 for every second that winners go over their allotted time, and he'd add $1,000 for every second that winners left on the table. They tracked the changing donation total throughout the show, and in the end, the final donation was $350,000. I would have seen it, but I didn't watch the show.
I saw a comment on social media from a guy I follow named Paul Scheer, and he said, everyone always makes such a big deal about the cutting off of the acceptance speeches to make room for the lame comedy bits and stuff yep. they've planned. The only magic in an award show are those live moments of stars being people. And I think they focus too much. I agree with this guy, Paul, that don't cut them off because those are your moments right there.
Didn't award shows, though, jump the shark about 5 years ago? Really?
Maybe even more than that. I don't watch any of them anymore. It's a big time investment and no payoff.
Mm-hmm. And all your highlights from the next day are going to be those acceptance speeches.
Exactly.
Best drama series.
The math works.
Mm-hmm.
Best drama series.
Time?
The Pit.
Good.
HBO.
You know what? I was glad to see that one because that was
a like
great
show.
Show.
I like that show. Best comedy series, The Studio. You guys watched
horrible.
That?
Horrible. Horrible. I didn't even get through the season. It's not
fine.
Even fine. It's too wow. Seth Rogen.
No, it's going to win everything because it sucks up to all those people.
You're right. It's a Hollywood series. You're right.
Best limited or anthology series, Adolescence. Either one of you watched that one?
We, yeah,
you
did
liked
too.
I didn't like it.
Okay.
Well, that was those single shot, three episodes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, with the British guy. Okay. That's okay. I'm with that. Best actor in a drama series, Noah Wiley, deserves it. Fantastic 100%. Job.
Glad he did.
That's The Pitt again. Best actress in a drama series, Britt Lower in Severance. A lot of people like Severance.
I don't
a lot
like
of people
Severance.
Like that show.
I don't like that show. I tried twice on it, and it's too dark and weird. Yeah.
Best actor.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, Seth Rogen, The Studio. Best actress in a comedy series. Jean Smart, Hacks. She's got the magic touch, right? Doesn't she win every year everything?
She does, but you know what? I would love to gang up on her, but Hacks is a good show.
Yeah,
it's really well written.
Thank you, Josh, for reminding me, because I do remember Adolescence and Stephen Graham winning Best Actor. He's a great actor in everything he does, and he's such a wonderful little Brit. Love watching him. Best Actress in a Limited or Anthology Series, Kristen Milioti, The Penguin.
That's the Batman reimagining. Yeah, I guess
and
she's
then I'll
a
give
female
you two more.
Lead in it.
Best Supporting Actor in a Drama, Trammell Tillman in Severance, that guy, right?
I don't know. I don't know. I think he's a D.C. guy, though. I think he's a Washington, D.C. native.
Best Supporting Actress in a Drama Series, Catherine Linaza, The Pitt. There are a million actresses in that, so I don't know which one she is. I'd love to see, though, because there's so many great performances in that show. Mm-hmm. So there it is. That's your award. I don't watch it. I rarely didn't watch either the Emmys or the Oscars every year. This is one where I've just bagged it. I didn't like it.
Speaking of Hacks, I think that Hannah Einbinder won Best Supporting Actress in a Comedy Series, and she's also very good.
Hannah Stemwinder?
Einbinder.
Einbinder?
Yeah, she is a Nepo baby. She's Lorraine Newman's daughter from Saturday Night Live.
Really? And what show was she in?
She's in Hacks. She plays
Okay.
I think she got supporting actress. I know she was nominated.
Yeah, she's the one
won.
The younger girl that works with Jean
Smart. Yeah, I think she's very, very funny. Yeah.
Josh, I was trying to send this picture to you, so this might be tough for you to bring up. Jelly Roll just shook hands with the Pope. I didn't get this to you, this photograph. He shared the awesome photo on Instagram, and he captioned it from rock bottom to holy ground. If you can find it, it is a charming, charming picture. Let's see. That is just a magnificent picture there.
It was awkward, though, because Jelly Roll asked for seconds at communion.
Stop it. He's he's lost a lot of weight.
He has.
Let's see. It's a long way from where he started. He has been very open about his past struggles with drugs, violence, and his time in prison. And he still puts a lot of energy into mentoring at-risk youth, trying to help them avoid the same mistakes he made.
A genuinely good guy, I think. I really do.
Jelly and Post Malone, that's just such a, that's a picture I needed to see this weekend. Just a little, positivity and love.
Everywhere I looked, there was positivity. I don't know what's the matter with you.
Jelly and Post Malone had a show last night in Lisbon, Portugal, on their big-ass stadium tour. Pretty cool that Jelly found some time on tour to sneak over to the Vatican and meet Pope Leo. So
it
looked like it was a special, special moment, and I just dug it. I love that picture. That's a great picture to look at.
Pope Leo's going to get a facial tattoo now
on his neck. 57% of couples opt to have an open bar at their wedding. You had one, right, Rob? I had one for three times.
Many wedding pictures of Brad at the bar. It's so funny. He's always in the background. My best man was Brad, and he's at the bar an awful lot at our wedding.
You know, I remember one great, beautifully written expression about a bar where they talk about going out to the lobby during the award ceremony, and there Jack Lemmon was holding up the bar, which was just a great expression. The average cost of alcohol at a wedding is $2,400, so some couples opt to save money by asking their guests to pay for drinks. But now, there is a new reason couples are setting up credit card machines at the bar to help pay for the honeymoon.
No, this is just like the people who put their Venmo tag on their car and want you to send them money.
Mike, was this set up? There's a wedding facility I know in Chicago owned by Joe Coyne. Is this? Did he set that up?
We got a special, credit card machine. One couple in the UK tried it using a card processing company that provides readers like the ones they bring to your tables at restaurants.
Yeah.
There were also signs with QR codes with the message, "Don't be tight. Pay for our flight." The couple said the proceeds would go toward their honeymoon in Mexico. They didn't reveal how much they made, but they said their guests absolutely loved it.
Oh, sure they did.
Right.
Yeah.
And now they've got a down payment for their house.
You know, Mike, I'm thinking about the bar at my wedding. You actually figured into it because we had the facility we had would provide the mixers, the sodas and the juices and all that stuff. But we had to buy many, many handles of booze. And we had to choose one full keg of beer. And I wanted to choose something that would appeal to everyone. And I said to Carrie, I said, you know, Mike's a good drinker. Let's get Amstel Light. And that's why we had Amstel Light at my wedding, because it was your go-to beer at the time.
It's a good draft beer.
It is a good draft beer. And you know what? It pleased everybody. I thought that was good. So thank you.
And will those credit card machines work on a cruise?
Oh, God.
Josh, look into it. Let's see. They did this, by the way, the credit card machine, instead of accepting wedding presents. They've been together for 14 years.
Instead of presents, then you know what? That's not as bad.
They've been together for 14 years. They already have a house and a toaster, and they didn't need more stuff. So why the credit card readers? They said a lot of people don't carry cash anymore, and they just figured they'd have some fun with it. They said their guests got more generous as the drinks started to flow. Well, they're open and honest about it.
That's
true. The way that goes. And by the way, when I was in the lobby and they actually didn't serve me. You know, all the manager came up to me and said, "How many drinks you had?" I said, "I've had about 100 beers." About 100 of them, everybody. Apparently, I haven't been. You guys are there all the time, so you can probably speak to this better than I can. There is a Costco somewhere in Florida that already has Christmas decorations for sale.
Yeah, mine does.
Already? Oh, in August. It usually goes up in August at mine. Yeah.
Technically, it's still summer until September 22nd, and then there are 3 months of fall, but not for Costco. They already celebrate the Yuletide right now. A shopper in Royal Palm Beach. Royal Palm Beach. I've never heard of that.
Have you ever been to Palm Beach?
I have,
This is much nicer.
Right. This is past the Golden Gate.
They shared photos of the Christmas displays. Let's see. I guess are they skipping right over the pumpkins and turkey to get to Santa?
No, that's out there also.
They got all that stuff too, yeah.
I got the Costco experts here. This is
awesome.
And
by the way, F you, Home Depot, for your big 25-foot skeletons and all that crap you're selling. Yes. I hate it.
And I've got a neighbor right now that I hate because his yard is filled with Halloween decorations.
Yeah. Well, why do you hate that, boys?
September 15th.
Yeah, it's too early. It is way too early.
For 2 months.
Spirit stores are in every strip mall in America right now. You know?
We call them ABC stores, Mike.
What's that? I thought that's a booze store.
Oh, yeah, I thought you were talking about spirits.
Spirit Halloween. Finer's
the pop-up store, yeah. I yelled at my neighbor there was 3 tombstones in their backyard. Turns out they were genuine. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's an older neighborhood. The neighborhood is aging out. Yeah. If you're not fazed by hearing jingle bells before the first leaf drops, you might snag a good deal. Anyway, do you think they should have it? I don't care. Do whatever you want. It's fine.
Yeah,
I don't mind.
Hobby Lobby's got it all out, too. It's there because people buy it.
Yeah. A couple years ago, I met, you remember the Chubbuck family.
By the way, go into Hobby Lobby and go into the back and ask if they have any of, they also sell Nazi memorabilia.
No, Mike, that's in my store, Robbie Lobby.
There you go.
I was at Costco a few years ago in the dead of summer. In the dead of summer, and Kristen Chubbuck was there with her mother.
Yeah.
And she had like 4 boxes of blown glass ornaments in her cart in August. I said, "Boy, you're getting a jump on Christmas." And this lady, she's probably 80, she flipped me off.
That's funny.
I loved it.
Thank you for coming to Robbie Lobby. That's good. Finally today, sorry to be a dream killer for any of you pervs, but it's quite common for actors to wear prosthetics for their naughty bits in movies and TV. BuzzFeed put together a list of actors who tricked us on screen. I will give you 5 highlights.
Thank you.
All right?
I love it.
Number 1, Margaret Qualley. Remember she was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Yeah, she's Andy McDowell's daughter, Nepo Baby.
And she did that movie with Demi Moore, Substance. Simpsons, the director wanted to wear fake boobs. She wanted that Jessica Rabbit inspired look. So those, she wore prosthetics in the movie.
Well, there was a lot of makeup in that movie.
Bill Skarsgård, he obviously wore prosthetics because he was in Nosferatu. You know that he wore tons of that stuff. But also that included a penis too.
Sure,
in the full same body. Movie.
Yeah, in the he obviously wore prosthetics to transform into Count Orlok in Nosferatu, and that also included a peenie.
Yeah, they almost named the movie Nosferatu 7.
That's exciting. John Hamm wore fake pierced nipples in Fargo season 5. I haven't seen season 5.
No, but I've maybe seen I'll the check nipples. It in.
The nipples are wonderful.
They are strong.
Theo James, which one is he from The White Lotus? Is Theo James the...
Oh, he was the one that was...
Is he the dad?
No. He was the... There was the two couples, and one of them was the girl that from Parks and Recreation. And this is the guy that was the super good-looking guy that had the really shallow girlfriend. Remember? And he got high with the other guy, and they cheated, and the wife found the condom. Yeah, this is this... Yeah, so that's
he wore a fake one for that. And then number 5, Lily James. She wore a face chest piece to transform into Pamela Anderson on Pam and Tommy. What's a face chest piece?
Is that, it's probably fake.
Oh, instead fake? Of face. A fake chest piece. Yeah. Sorry about that. I thought it was, well, you know.
Well,
I
mean, Josh knows his prosthetics.
There you go.
Well,
yeah.
I didn't remember a face chest in that movie.
That's right.
Yeah, they didn't change your face. What kind of idiot would just read that? finally, yeah, that's it. Surprisingly, the list does not include Mark Wahlberg in the Boogie Nights.
Yeah.
But that was also reported to be that wasn't real, was
no,
it?
No, they had his real one was too big. It was offensive, so they had to give him a fake one.
No, it's remember Dirk Diggler?
No, I was just being
if that's real, I'm not going in the pool ever again. That's all there is to it, ladies and gentlemen.
You didn't mention my favorite one, Mike.
Which one?
Bill Cullen.
Bill Cullen. Just look it up, folks, if you don't know what the hell
Bill
we're talking
Cullen
about.
And his massive hog.
Yes. Amen. Amen, people. We will come back with something. I know we will, because that's what we do on the Mike O'Mara Show, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back with more show. But first, I do want to tell you, we're not coming back. All right.
No, we're here the whole time. Been here
don't
the whole time.
Don't want to get into that habit again. A lot of stuff going on. Are you having trouble shutting your brain off at night?
Yes.
Souls Out of Office Gummies are your ticket to calm, helping you relax, quiet the noise, and drift off naturally. When you're thinking about the 80% and the 20%, it's something you need. It's the perfect mix of CBD and THC. They deliver a smooth buzz that melts stress, lifts your mood, and sparks creativity. Choose your vibe from a light 1.5 milligram microdose to the bold new 15 milligram gummy.
Yeah.
When you want to fully unplug. Rob loves his gummies, his 15s, as he calls them. Cowabunga. prefer sipping? Prefer sipping?
Sipping?
Try the new out-of-office beverage. That is a refreshing drink, and it's alcohol-free.
It's like a soda.
A soda. Ethel Thayer. Sounds like I'm lisping, doesn't it? And hold on just a second. I don't know what I've done. Oh, yeah, it tastes great, too. So
the raspberry lemonade is strong. Very good, very good.
You enjoy the gummies and... I am having so much trouble with my computer right now.
Yeah, bear with me, folks. Josh and I both, we are very strong proponents of this company. And it really, what is great, the way they package it, you can manage your effect that you receive.
When it's deep restorative sleep you're after, Souls Sleep Gummies, Sleepy Gummies, S-L-E-E-P-I. That's sleepy.
Yeah, that's their spelling.
They have you covered. Every product is hemp-derived, delicious, crafted with wellness in mind, everybody. So, Soul is offering our audience 30% off your entire order. Go to GetSoul.com and use the code TMOS. That's GetSoul.com, promo code TMOS for 30% off.
You know what they don't mention on that copy that I don't know if it's a secret or not, but I will spill it. You earn points every time you purchase something from them. And it doesn't take long to get free product because you get rewarded. So once you go over there, you're going to love the product and they make it really easy to stay, you know, involved with it. Love it.
You're going to love it. All right. So, boy, I'm conflicted here because Josh took a peek at the Charlie Sheen documentary, and I know we're going to try to watch that as well, but I have to move on to what the other thing he wanted to talk about today, which was, I'll spell it first.
Yeah.
M-I-L-K. That's the subject.
I don't know how I can bring up the story when really I know how you guys are. The story is now that I can't say the word milk.
Well, milk. What was that? What did you say again?
Milk. M-E-L-K. Milk.
Yeah.
Milk?
Sure. Milk.
Milk. Yep.
Milk.
Milk. Like milk parmesan.
I am a big consumer of almond milk. That's what but I will occasionally go with the 2%. We keep the 2% for my kid because it's healthier.
He doesn't do the fake milk at all, or does he just try to focus on the 2%?
I think he will grab the almond milk occasionally. The one thing we don't do is that, whole milk, which tastes just like cream as far as I know.
And that's where the controversy is.
Yeah.
Controversy. I guess a bunch of scientists back in December put out a report that we should only be drinking 1% or 2% milk.
Sorry. You knew this was coming.
Yeah,
you
knew this was coming.
You didn't know until you presented it to us in the pre-show.
Say it again, please, because I was just waiting for you to say it, and I wasn't even paying attention. Mm-hmm. A bunch of scientists
came
said
out
what?
In December and said we should only be drinking 1% or 2% milk.
Okay. That makes
1%
sense.
1% or 2%, which I agree with. Is that true?
Well, that's what scientists said in December.
Yeah.
But on this past week, on the 9th, the Make America Healthy Again committee came out.
Is this with RFK?
Yeah, it's RFK.
Oh. The worst Kennedy.
They came out with an updated thing for schools where they have removed restrictions so schools can now serve whole milk as well.
Oh, God.
Tastes the best.
It doesn't matter how it tastes.
Whole milk guy, I know.
Of course he is. With his swollen feet, he's a whole milk guy. Come on now. It's bad for you.
It's not.
It's too much fat.
No, it's not like I'm drinking a gallon a day, but if I'm going to have a couple cookies, I'm not going to have some piece of...
But you're not you're the last person in the world that people should take health advice from.
I'm alive, aren't I?
This is... way to raise that bar.
Well...
You know what? I will tell you that, it's just a question of... health recommendations. That's all.
I don't want to look in a glass.
You're
and see
talking
blue
about
water.
Flavor. I'm talking about health. Let's just keep this to the health discussion for now. You drink it because you prefer the flavor.
I do.
Well, and that's fine. Yeah. But that's not relevant to this discussion.
No, and I agree with Triple on everything. And he points out that whole milk is only 3.5% fat.
See, it's almost nothing, Mike. It's inconsequential. And think of
you
the flavor you get.
And it sounds like Tripp agrees with RFK.
Wow, that's something. Why is he coming up on the show? Anyway.
Well, he's in the chat room.
Oh, is he? Hi, Tripp.
Hello.
Let me see if he responded to me. Tripp, did you get my message that I sent you? Let's see. Let's see if he writes in here. Let me see.
But that's the problem with milk is the discussion of is it too much fat for kids?
What about you, Josh? Where do you weigh in on milk?
I am a 2% guy.
Okay,
my dad's whole milk only.
I could deal with 2%. Skim is the worst because it really doesn't even resemble milk anymore. But, I mean, for whole milk, if you're going to have, a glass a day, that's the way to go because it tastes so much better.
And I don't know why there's controversy over milk in school when there's all these Little Debbie cupcakes and everything. Those are the things
Hostess.
That are bad for kids.
Hostess, the Hostess contingent. Big pie.
And ice cream. There's no reason for kids to have ice cream at school lunches.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, look, we're in a situation right now where my son is sports all the time. And there are kids that are, in good shape. And even at 12, there are kids that are not in such good shape.
Right.
And so right now, I believe, at the age of 12, 13, is that time where you kind of steer them in the right direction. Would you not agree? I mean, there's certain parents who would tell you to do that their whole lives.
Right.
My sister was probably one of them, where you keep that refrigerator stocked with healthy alternatives. That's what it was.
Yeah. But, I mean, when I grew up, we were a whole milk family, so I don't know that it's actually on my shoulders entirely.
And
but I do like fat. I mean, we've discussed ground beef in the past. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, fat tastes good, and fat is...
Yeah, why? But I mean,
my entire childhood, yeah. Cal Ripken Jr. told me that milk is how you build muscles.
Like, yeah. But Cal said milk.
Well, yeah, milk comes from a cow.
Did you know his middle name is Siam?
What's that?
Calcium Ripken.
That's very funny. Very clever.
It was clever, but it wasn't funny.
Mike O'Mara is not a poster child of healthy consumption. Wow. Why the hate?
I don't know. But milk, I mean, do you stand on the fact that as a rule, dairy milk, cow milk is good, right?
I'm simply saying if you're drinking regular milk, I don't think it's a bad idea to go with the slightly less fat content.
When you drink your mock milk, your oat milk or your almond milk or whatever they're making milk out of, do they add calcium or anything to it?
Don't pay attention to it. Milk is laden with sugar,
lactose. I mean, it's in there. And if you drink enough of it, you will lactose.
I think everybody's got to, do the very best they can. I just think that when you're talking about mass quantities of anything, and in a school system, you would be throwing that out there, every little bit helps. Would that be reasonable?
When you went to school and they were selling milk with the lunches, did they offer chocolate milk as an option?
I was only paying attention to UNICEF.
You're a good guy.
The little orange thingy.
You are so purely good.
Purely good. That's what they call me. Pure goodness. That's me. That's it. So milk is, milk fat.
Yes.
Milk fat.
And also, milk lemonade.
Round the corner. Fudge is made.
Exactly. And I think that's the takeaway.
When we come back, Josh is going to give us a little tease of a homework assignment for viewing that he has for us.
Yeah, Sheen.
And I'll be interested to... Josh, I want you to speak a little cryptically about it so we can formulate our own opinion. But we'll cover that Charlie Sheen documentary a little bit in a second here. But first, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to say this program is brought to you by a wonderful product. And if you are not aware of this product, hopefully you don't have nausea. I hope you don't. I hope you don't have to suffer from that. But nausea, meet your arch enemy. It's called Relief Band, ladies and gentlemen. Relief Band. You are going to love this. It is the anti-nausea wristband. Clinically proven, drug-free, and doctor-recommended, it stops nausea from motion sickness, migraines, anxiety, hangovers, morning sickness, chemo, and more. Just strap it on, adjust the intensity, and feel relief kick in. Fast, with zero side effects. The new Premier Plus Relief Band model goes even further with smart skin-sensing technology, a built-in digital clock, and next-level nausea control. It sounds too good to be true, but trust me, it works. I have it. I use it. I love it.
Did you wear it during the Giants game?
I should have.
You should
have. I wonder if that would have corrected my little pit. The little knot in my tummy.
It couldn't hurt.
It's not magic. It's science. Hospital-developed, doctor-backed, life-changing. So if you want to cure your nausea fast, join the hundreds of thousands of people who are nausea-free with Relief Band. Right now, there's an exclusive offer just for Mike O'Mara Show listeners. If you go to reliefband.com and use promo code TMOS, you will receive 20% off plus free shipping. So head to reliefband.com and use our promo code TMOS for 20% off plus free shipping, ladies and gentlemen. All right, the documentary, it dropped last night, did it not, Josh?
I think it was last Thursday. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm dying to see it. Sure. You got to look at it before I did. I was running around to too many baseball tournaments.
They didn't have it on the TV at Twin Peaks.
The Charlie Sheen documentary. Winning!
Charlie Sheen's been my distraction all weekend. I listened to his Rogan interview, and then I watched his Netflix documentary.
Okay. And
I think the big takeaway is it is so hard to not like Charlie Sheen.
Okay.
Everybody likes Charlie Sheen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think a lot of viewers do. It shows the audience does. And I think through this, I take away that even his ex-wives still love Charlie Sheen.
Wow.
I bet he doesn't love his ex-wives, though.
I think they have a good relationship. But I did mark down a few odd takeaways without spoiling anything.
Okay, go ahead.
Like, did you know, for one, it's amazing that he was right before the internet and social media all really took off.
All right.
So the win-in was kind of just right at the tail end of his craziness where the internet was. So he got away with a lot of stuff without the internet blowing it up.
Yeah, I remember the first like meme of him was the shot of him smiling with a broken tooth. it went crazy fast everywhere. But you know, that was towards the end, right?
When you talk about him and the fact, the lovability factor, I immediately go to that spot in my mind where, has anyone ever really thrown a lot of hate out? The behavior, horrific behavior, right. Really. But always in, I always considered him kind of clown-like.
Well,
right?
He owns because he was everything such a hot he did. Mess. Yeah, he owned it. He really did. He doesn't try to steer the narrative. He, all along, he just said, I did it. Tiger's blood. You know, that's, right. He embraced it. And
everyone around him has accepted that was all due to this addiction problem. So they love Charlie. I also noted, did you know that Charlie Sheen, when he was a young boy, for a while his parents explored with them being a nudist family.
I didn't know. You mean Martin?
Martin Sheen. Yeah.
Martin Sheen. Now, wasn't Martin Sheen like a terrible father? Wasn't that part of the deal? Because Martin Sheen was like never part of his life. Wasn't that the way it went?
No, he comes across really involved in Charlie's life.
He does. Okay.
Especially as an adult.
How about Emilio?
But a hippie, probably.
Yeah, definitely hippie-ish. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, with alternative lifestyles and stuff like that. And right?
Was brother Emilio, was he interviewed for the series or was he mentioned?
Not. He was not. The brother Ramon was interviewed.
That's who? Odd.
Ramon.
Ramon, of course.
Yes.
That is really odd that Emilio was never.
I would think he would see this as a springboard moment because no one's hearing a lot from Emilio lately. I think it would be a good move.
There were people missing definitely from the documentary.
Denise Richards, was she interviewed?
Denise Richards was in it. Okay. His other ex-wife, Brooke something, was in it. Sean Penn spoke a lot in it. And his drug dealer.
Okay, you teased it. Yeah. You teased it. And you would recommend the doc, I would think.
I like Charlie Sheen. I thought it was fun. I didn't know him and Nicolas Cage were so close.
Wow, that's a big bucket of weird right there. That is truly a big bucket of weird.
You mean he hung out with Elvis's son-in-law? Let's not forget the fact that there's that weird connection, too. That.
And then the other man from Two Men. Two and a Half Men was also
John Cryer.
John Cryer. Yes. How about Ashton Kutcher?
No Ashton Kutcher. Okay. None of the boy. Chuck.
The boy
Chuck
is
Lorre.
Now 50.
There were definitely some people missing, but it's an entertainment. It's too long, like they all are. Mm. But it was entertaining.
All right, I'll check it out.
It's just the one. You know. It's a one movie, or it's not a series.
Two episodes. Two 90-minute episodes.
As far really,
that's a lot.
90 minutes.
I bet they could have crammed
Billy
it
Joel
into.
Thing.
They could have crammed that into 2 hours or even 100 minutes.
All right. Well, maybe I'll take I'll take a hit while I'm watching. That's that. Good, you know, man. Winning. You know,
winning indeed.
Yeah, I'll drop some meth and then watch the Charlie Sheen documentary. By the way, I was up in that part of Florida. Easy to find.
Sure.
Easy to find up where I was for the tournament this
weekend.
Didn't
they sell it in the lobby of your motel?
Winning. Hey, Rob Spiewak, you got beautiful video for us?
Mike, I've got some stuff that'll blow your mind.
Summer ends. Suddenly real clothes come back into play. Not quite over yet, but luckily, Fair Harbor makes the switch. And when you switch from fall, you switch to fall from summer, it makes the switch feel easy. Mm-hmm. This podcast is brought to you by Fair Harbor. It's autumn, and your days of tossing on a t-shirt and shorts are done. I get really obsessive compulsive when you say it's autumn when it's not.
Well, you know, it's not.
Autumn is just around the corner.
It's not meteorological autumn, but I think a lot of people think autumn starts after Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
The way they think summer starts after Memorial Day.
Reminds me of a story. We had an autumn at American University, and man, she would be. No. Your days of tossing on a t-shirt and shorts are done. not down here.
Yeah.
But keeping your wardrobe easy is year-round. I still have my Fair Harbor trunks, but you can get the Fair Harbor Fall Essentials that give you the freedom to layer up or down. So you're set for wherever the day takes you. Grab their best-selling tees, soft layers, and pants that work with everything. It doesn't get much better than Fair Harbor's Horizon pants. The Horizon pants look clean and tailored, but move like your favorite sweats, thanks to the soft fabric and four-way stretch. Once you try them, good luck wearing anything else. Josh and I wore our Fair Harbor swim trunks all summer long.
Yep.
Best trunks ever. Plus, Fair Harbor was founded to protect the places you love. Since launching, this lifestyle brand has repurposed over 37 million plastic bottles into buttery soft essentials made for every day. Join their mission and return the favor to the planet. I promise you, you'll love Fair Harbor. Head to fairharborclothing.com/Mike and use code Mike for 20% off your order. Once again, that's Fair Harbor, HARBOR clothing.com/Mike for 20% off, and make sure you use our promo code Mike so they know I sent you, because I am Mike. Mike of the Mountain!
Can we start?
Yeah, go ahead. Do
okay. Your thing.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry Todd.
Oh, how's the weather?
77 WABC brings you up to the minute reports from the ionospheric weather checker.
Mike, do you know that on that that Fair Harbor ad, 5 million of those plastic bottles were used to make my swimsuit?
Right, and they were filled with milk.
They were filled with milk.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you weigh in on emotional support animals?
I think fine, but at the same time abused, right? The privilege has been abused by people a variety of reasons to get onto planes and things like that.
I like seeing them like in stores and stuff. I like animals. You're not allowed to pet them because they're apparently, you know, trained. But I don't think you'd want to pet this emotional support animal, which got a guy banned from Walmart.
Think that I would actually own an alligator ever? It's been really kind of incredible.
Wesley Silva got his pet alligator 4 years ago from a neighbor who got her as a gift. When they weren't able to care for her anymore, they asked Silva if he'd be interested.
I did some research. I have kids of my own, and I didn't want to put anybody in jeopardy. And that's.
By the way, please note that he has the gator dressed.
Yeah,
like in a sweater. I don't know.
And the gator seems totally chill. The gator is chill so far. I want to hear about this.
Okay. That's interesting. I'll take her.
Since then, they've been everywhere.
We've gone to restaurants. We've been to Denny's, where she's a star there. She gets VIP treatment. We've been out to Bob Evans. We've been out to the Wagon Wheel in West Brownsville.
Mike, he eats at all the restaurants you do.
What?
I've been to the Wagon Wheel. I've been to them
all. Silva says she always got a warm welcome. That is until nearly 2 weeks ago, when some shoppers at the West Brownsville Walmart reached out to Channel 11 about an alligator shopping in Walmart with its owner.
It's been very positive, and I was really taken back by that.
While Silva says Jinsei Oshi is registered as an emotional support animal, it's not allowed at Walmart. After our story, Walmart sent this statement saying in part, quote, "We welcome service animals in our stores, but it is unacceptable to expose members of the public to potential danger. Accordingly, alligators are not permitted on our premises."
Yeah,
so he can still go. He can still go to the Wagon Wheel and eat, though.
You know, the only thing I'm thinking is the thing is going to grow.
Yeah,
right? Oh,
they grow to the size of their environment. He's going to die. That man is going to die.
Wow, yummy, yummy, loving my tummy.
And while we're in Animal Corner, Mike, congratulations to Paycheck the Turkey, who won the turkey race this weekend in Minnesota.
Wow. Yeah, saw some turkeys on Friday out at the golf course my son was on.
Mean animals. This is in Worthington, Minnesota. Paycheck beat Ruby Begonia. Let's see the final moments of that race. Here comes Paycheck.
Look at that. Let's torture the birds for fun.
Exactly. They're chasing them with paddles.
It looks like rakes. Did they have rakes?
Let's look at it again.
Oh, okay, let's take flags.
What do they have? What are they chasing? What do they got?
Oh, they are flags.
Flags, yeah. Red flags.
Oh, and a paddle.
And a paddle.
Yeah.
Hit it.
it, Elizabeth.
It is. It's really sad for the people in Texas that Ruby Begonia lost.
Mm-hmm.
And you wonder what he's done since the election. That video was posted by Governor Tim Walz. I kid you not.
Seriously?
Yep. That's it. He got the credit. Mike, you
are. Is it true what they say about, like, wild turkeys? Turkeys that are in the wild? No, wild turkeys are not delicious. That's what I've heard. They're too gamey.
I've had them. I like them.
You like wild turkeys? You sure that's not the alcohol?
I'm sure. Mike, the white meat tastes a little like the dark. Because it is a little gamier, but it's a good flavor.
Okay.
Not a lot of meat on it because they're not bred for meat, but they were very, very tasty.
Okay.
Maine, I don't feel is a real gun-driven culture. You have folks in Maine.
Oh, one of my best friends up there. He'll have you over to his house to show you his 14 firearms that he's got in his gun case. Absolutely.
Maybe he's the one to blame here because they were doing a lost dog search. I think two beagles were missing.
Okay.
And a fellow was hired to use his drone to help look for the dogs.
In business, often helping search for missing people and animals, says one of his drones was shot in midair earlier this week. Rob Russell runs 2A TAC Air Services, and he says he was flying in Corinth on Tuesday, looking for two missing beagles when somebody shot the drone, damaging its front sensors. He says the drone was more than 350 feet up when he was alerted to a problem and landed. He says authorities are now investigating.
Oh, bummer. We don't have the video of the drone.
It violates Maine statutes, but it's also a federal offense. So it is actually the same charge as shooting at or striking a plane full of people.
Wow. Oh, don't shoot the drones. If
don't
that's
shoot
the law
the
in your state.
Yeah. Don't do it.
What were you going to say, Josh?
That is the national law. They are considered aircraft, so they all fall under the same guideline.
Wow.
So never shoot them down.
So what about when the guy, like, swats it out of the air? Would that be like if he reached his hand up and swatted a plane?
Yeah, if you hit an airplane, you're going to jail, Mike.
Okay, yes. I got it. Damn it, I can't do it anymore.
Don't you love when something that you would see in a cartoon happens in real life and it works?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was great. Construction workers saved a life.
Is safe tonight thanks
this
to
guy.
The quick actions of three construction workers. They used a trampoline to save him from a burning home in Glenwood, Iowa.
The fire chief tells First Alert 6 the men also rescued two women trapped inside.
What a beautiful dress.
Ron Johnson spoke with two of the workers about the lives they saved.
They look like animatronics.
Yeah.
When you hear a child in harm's way, you know.
What?
Oh, he's getting emotional.
Yeah, you'll do what you got to do.
The sound of a child in distress is what John Lewis said drew him and two of his coworkers into action on Monday. They saw smoke coming from this house in Glenwood, Iowa, and rushed in through the front door to save two people.
I couldn't see nothing. It was so smoky, and at that time, I didn't know what to do, so I kind of came out the front door, and as I came out the front door, there was an explosion, and when it exploded, I kind of like turned my back or sideways, and got out, and that was that.
The three like construction employees quickly found out the two people they rescued weren't the only ones inside. A young boy was trapped on the second floor, and they had to think fast.
And so I grabbed a trampoline, and me and another friend took and scooted it over to the window, and it was black and with the flames and the smoke, and we coached him down to get him to jump. So he jumped out of the window onto the trampoline, and once he hit the trampoline, I caught him and got him away from the building.
You know, what's so great about that is that trampoline has to be 60 years old because it doesn't have any protection around the sides of it.
Yeah. And that's awesome. I mean,
right?
My God. That's just
like a cartoon.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's that thing I always say, judge not lest ye be judged. I mean, those guys, you looked at them and you saw them interviewed, you'd be like, hey, blah, blah, blah.
Well,
but
yeah,
no,
but
they're the ones
mind,
that
Mike.
Did it. They were there. Yes.
That guy with the beard that talked about how he escaped,
yes.
That's the guy that left the kid upstairs.
He started the fire.
Yeah.
Stop it. Stop
All right.
it.
Two more. This happened on. This falls under the Audio Vault Classics. I'm sure I've played this before, mm-hmm. but it's worth playing again. 1969, Mike, is that before or after you worked at WAGO Muncie?
Oh, Muncie, what a great market that was. Really great grocery stores, mom and pops.
Yeah, always. Here's a disc jockey that was on WAGO in 1969 named David Letterman.
Flagship station of the Ball State University campus station, WAGO, Boss Radio 57, Wagner Hall, Muncie.
22 this week in the top 30, plus 15 the flirtations, and nothing but a heartache. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name's Dave Letterman, and you're listening to the Dave Letterman radio program, the radio program which asks a question. Oh, excuse me, there's the telephone. Good evening, WAGO. May I help you? You're looking for a gaboon viper? Well, have you tried over in the library? Well, the lighting's much better over there. We'll see you a little later, clown.
Clown.
Okay.
Well, everybody has to start somewhere, Rob.
We'd all be embarrassed with our early days.
I'm sure we all have air checks we'd like to bury, but that's really not the level he was at on CBS, was it?
No, not at all. Different. He had writers, absolutely.
All right, let's close with this. Germans are funny. And you would think precise because, you know, they build good roads. But somehow...
Oh, my God. Stop it.
Mike, it's just, you know, it's what I've heard. But somehow...
Just limp across the finish line here. Here we go. They built great roads. Go ahead.
I'm not limping, Mike. I have got two good legs.
All right.
Somehow there was confusion that the candles they put on this German birthday cake weren't candles. Oh, they had a wick you could light, but they weren't candles. Fireworks inside.
Doesn't look like it was planned.
No, I don't think it was.
Like that light fixture, though.
One person there has it planned.
Yeah.
Sweet 16 und never been kissed.
War es the Kinder? This is the fire.
Wo ist the toilet? Where did you come across that David Letterman tape?
Things like that, you know, it's in my matrix, and it's what came up on, I think it was TikTok this morning.
Do you happen to remember the name of my American University radio show? I had a special name.
It was Uncle Mike, wasn't
it? Uncle Mike. Yeah. I was Uncle Mike, yes. Yeah. Because I was Uncle Mike when I was there. First time I became an uncle was when I was at American University. It was the Uncle Mike show.
And as we said, Mike, tell them Mike sent you because I am Mike.
I am Mike. Thank you. And that's for Jeff Newman out there, my buddy Jeff Newman, another radio guy. Uncle Mike still calls me that. We got to get out of here. We'll be back with a brand new episode tomorrow. For Josh Sharok and Rob Spiewak, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Take care.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
And remember, we're not happy until you're not happy.
Bit by bit, he began to recognize his own waste.
That was crazy. It ain't never nothing like that going around here.